numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Sup?
Trying to get to 100 pounds lost. So close.
Dude, I'm backing up. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, don't do that.
Backing up. I don't know what I ate this weekend.
Don't do that. Don't back up.
It's okay. I was a beast in the gym on Monday.
Beast.
Beast.
Beast mode. Coming up this hour, between now and the end of the show, let's put it that way, Warren Sharp and Todd Wishnev will talk football with us. We'll talk some fantasy with Nick Whalen. Looking forward to that as well. So many responses to the Elihu Foisel thing. I'm fascinated by this. This is from JC on Twitter. Speaking of teasers, my local here in the Bay Area offers 6-point teasers minus 120, 7-point teasers minus 130, never leaving. Yes. I have often said that the offshore is the place to go. He's got a local, same concept. I still bet minus 120s, and there's even a minus 110. Minus 60.
That's sick. Yeah. You have access. Best I can do is 120. The 130 on the 7-point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even better, right?
Dan Groeschel, that's outstanding. Dan Groeschel. Yeah, we get the baseball plays, and that's great. But give the people what they want. Let's hear an update on Greg's romantic ventures. We'll do that next time. I don't want to press him on that every time, but we'll do that next time.
The other one I feel like I've gotten a lot of tweets about that I guess I got to apologize for is like way more Champions League fever early in the season than I thought there was going to be. Yeah, you guys got to understand it's a delicate dance with Paul Carr because the man never says no. He's so great. He's so nice. He'll come on whenever. And there's soccer to talk about 11 and a half months out of the year. So I try to give him some time.
The man never says no. You made it sound like there's no camera he doesn't love. That's how you made it sound.
I didn't mean that. We all know that.
Scoop Scott. Great segment with Greg. I do have a question about Greg's baseball podcast. Is it available at 33 and a third RPMs versus the standard 45 RPMs? I love the G unit, but man, that guy talks fast. Yeah, you can do the 0.5 times when you do the podcast.
Is that an option?
Oh, I think it is.
I've never once tried to slow down a podcast.
Oh, you can't slow it down? I thought you could slow it down.
You probably can.
D-Gen Southern Jet, strong theory behind the origins of rule of thumb is explained in the opening sequence of Boondock Saints, a movie that, based on your ages, I'd imagine Kelly's seen, but Gil hasn't. Also is the show Chalk, C-H-O-C-K, full of guests, or Chalk, C-H-A-L-K, full of guests. I believe it's the second one.
I believe it's the second one.
No, I don't know if it is,
Also, that's probably the great, great call on Boondock Saints. Have you ever seen that?
I think it's the first one, actually. C-H-O-C-K. As like chock full of nuts.
It sounds like a trick question.
Yeah, he's right. I think it's the first. What were you saying?
English major, Florida State. No idea.
Boondocks, what?
Boondock Saints. You ever seen that movie?
No, is that the Aaron Magruder thing? Boondock? Is that his name?
I don't know. I don't know. It is a great movie, and yes, I love the age assumption thing there, because definitely, if you're around my age, it's like a cult classic. Yeah, That's how I would describe it.
But somehow I know the guy that wrote Boondock.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. No on that one.
Jeff Isaacs, I agree buying points is not optimal. Well, that's not what he said, Jeff. But most, including me, are smaller bettors, 50 to 100 a game. I found buying points around key numbers on occasion at minus 120, and the NFL works for me at minus 125 or more. I would not. Anyway, I find the reaction to Elihu fascinating. Steve Fezzik has chimed in via text. Ready for this?
Well, the biggest thing there is it's just the price dependent. He went over the prices.
Steve Fezzik, I disagree with Elihu. The three is not going to hit 10% of the time. He's missing the fundamental change that's just happening in the NFL. Teams down 8 go for 2 now, and teams down 4 are going to start going for 2. Sometimes that's going to hurt the favorite by exactly 3 hit rate. I don't know if Steve is voicing these, so I have no idea what he's saying.
You have no idea what he's saying.
How about texting and not voicing, Steve? He's just going off the historicals, right?
Right.
Maybe you're right. Maybe moving forward this will check, but you've been saying moving forward it would change for a long time now. You and your ilk. And those of your ilk.
Get them.
Thank you. You were about to say the same, right?
I was going to say the same thing.
All y'all think you know, but he's just presenting the facts.
I think Steve's logic is sound.
I understand what he's saying.
But we got a little too ahead of ourselves with this stuff a year ago.
Stevie would agree that he's probably more ahead on things than is reality.
Mm-hmm. All Elihu did was break down what has happened so far.
That's right. You have some injury news, by the way?
I do. Thank you for reminding me.
Well, you're welcome.
Great job, Gil.
Thank you.
That was the, uh-huh. I literally said, Gil, Danny, someone remind me of this because I've forgotten twice already. I'm going to forget again. Okay, Breanna Stewart, this one just coming down. If you're betting WNBA, looks like she is going to go tonight, upgraded to probable with that knee injury. With a knee.
She's got a knee.
Upgraded to probable. And then NFL, we're going to go around all these games here, but these couple big ones coming down. Ed Oliver and Matt Milano both out tomorrow night for the Bills against the Dolphins.
That's big.
Yeah. And then Khalil Mack, this is. In news where football players are tougher than us, Gil, Khalil Mack expected to return in a few weeks from his dislocated elbow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a gruesome. I thought that was way worse than dislocation.
Well, I thought it was dislocation and, right? And maybe there's less of the and, but
I thought there was a fracture in there. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Few weeks. That's all Khalil needs.
Good for him. He's a football player. Good for him.
Football player.
But that's big with Milano and Oliver for the Bills tomorrow against the Dolphins. The other thing I just wanted to bring up before we get into the whip around here real quick is we're not really a trends show, but through 2 weeks of the NFL season, this explains a lot about why a historically low, less than 10% of entries have been knocked out of Survivor, and why at the end of the Megapod, when I ask the question, which of the big favorites do you think is the most likely to lose outright, we can't come up with an answer because it hasn't happened. Through 2 weeks, every favorite of -3 or better in the NFL has gone 19-2 straight up. The only exceptions, Kelly, when the Chargers were 3-point dogs versus the Chiefs week 1, that was the Sao Paulo game. And then the Seahawks were 3.5-point dogs this past week against the Steelers. So let's try to even winnow it down a little more. That's every favorite of -3 or better is 19-2 straight up. Every favorite of -3.5 or better, 15-1 straight up. And every favorite of -4 or better has gone 12-0 straight up. So the 9-point-whatever% of you, let me get the exact
number. There's only been 2 weeks. Now I'm like trying to think of who the -3.5 was.
Oh, I wrote it there. The Seahawks beating the Steelers week 2.
Okay.
Kelly only does outgoing. He doesn't do incoming.
I was reading the second bullet point from the bottom.
He only does outgoing. He doesn't do incoming. That's a problem with Kelly.
Oh, man.
So 9.36% of folks, of entries, have gotten eliminated in Survivor through week 2. And you know what that means about those 9.36% based on what we just went through? That they were all too cute. That they were all way too adorable with their Survivor plays.
Tim Lawson's segment coming into play.
That's right. There you go, Timmy. There you go, Timmy.
They got too cute, Timmy.
All right, let's do the whip around starting with tomorrow night.
Thursday night football.
Dolphins at the Bills.
Buffalo.
You just said it. Ed Oliver and Matt Milano are out. That spread's 11.5. I guessed a little lower than this, if you remember, on guessing lines. Now it really should be lower. Like, I get it. The Dolphins, they got crushed week 1. They probably should have won week 2 against the Patriots, and I get that's lesser competition in both cases than a short week at Buffalo, but I'm not, like, racing to lay that number. If Buffalo is a Survivor play, yes, but even that feels a little scarier than it should to me.
I just think I don't know if I'm scared. I just would rather save them. I'd rather save them.
They're going to be on some of my 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be on any of mine. I don't think they'll be on any of mine.
Okay.
I also have less than 6, though. It's an interesting game, Gil. I don't think I'm going to get to the window and end up betting it at all, but it would still be lay the points with the Bills or nothing. Like this, I think you said it well on Monday of just if the Dolphins were going to fire McDaniel. Like, it feels like, hey, let's go out there for one more game, see what happens in Buffalo. Then we got a week and a half to figure out what we want to do there.
Yeah.
This could just be a dead team rolling into town.
Only because I think their bye week is way too late, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. The other one was like the 49.5 up to 50. That total feels pretty big when, like, I think this game could go a lot of how the Bills and Jets went last week. If Bills are in control, we're going to run the ball. We'll take time off the clock. You can't do much against us. Goes under.
Sunday, Packers, early. 7.5-point favorites now on the road against Cleveland. I talked about this in the Survivor segment yesterday, which is it's one of the big favorites, but it's not a team that I'm going to play in Survivor, Green Bay, that is, because there are many more opportunities to play them in terms of future value in Survivor. But this to me is actually pretty interesting because if Green Bay is going to have this dream season, this would be a game that they roll in, right? This would be a game that will not be a tight one. But Cleveland's been competitive the first 2 games. Cleveland doesn't stink. So
have outgained both opponents, I believe, in the first 2 weeks of yardage.
I believe that's correct.
Some of that might have been garbage time, too.
Well, definitely, yeah. definitely against Cincinnati, mm-hmm. they did. I don't know about Baltimore, but they were competitive with Baltimore for two plus quarters, for sure. 2.5 quarters. But that Packers defense, boy, oh boy. Any playoffs for you on that?
I've got Packers teased left and right with three different teams. Yeah. If I've got the Packers teased down, I think that is. Look, me and you, I think.
That is not a Wonger teaser leg, though, because they're a road team.
Correct. They're a road team, yes.
Not a Stanford Wong teaser leg.
They are a team, though. You and I were waiting to see how good they were going to be. We thought they were going to be good coming to the end of the season. You're absolutely right. This is the game where you go and lay a smackdown on the Browns if you're really as good as we think you are now.
What about this one? Great game in the NFC. Rams at Eagles. Eagles with three interesting games anyway to start the season. Cowboys was not necessarily great on paper, but this is the Eagles -3.5. The Eagles offense does not look good. We'll talk about that in the fantasy segment with Nick Whalen later. 3.5-point favorites against the Rams. I have no play here.
I teased up when it opened. It was 4.5. I did the little Bidlin teaser leg and took it up to 10.5. Sure, someone's called it that before.
The Wong teaser and then the Bidlin teaser.
The Bidlin teaser, yes. Okay. Yeah. So that was one of the ones I paired with the Packers. It would still definitely be lean Rams, and I might end up on the under in that game.
Lastly, before the break here, Falcons at Panthers. Falcons up to a 5.5-point favorite. Remember, I bought this down to 3 on Monday. I'm not playing it in Survivor because, I mean, there's better places to play the Falcons, including home against the Panthers.
Yeah, we're both in on the Falcons already, and then yeah. I just bet the over yesterday in this game. I'm following Drew on that one.
Falcons in the account already. More of the Week 3 whip around. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
As the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner, so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer to claim your bonus. Use promo code VSIN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250. Skill Alexander, I wasn't going to read tweets, but Super Jerk has tweeted in, so I have to. I'm contractually obligated when Super Jerk tweets in.
Two-horse skill, telling you.
He said, Super Jerk said, dislocated my elbow and busted my ulna at the elbow joint in a car wreck. Talk about a brutal injury. I'm glad I didn't see it live. He's talking about Khalil Mack dislocating his elbow in the Chargers game the other night.
You and I never even once talked about it, and we both had the same conclusion, apparently. Like, I was like, yeah, that's messed up. Oh, but, see you next year, Khalil.
Yeah, see you next year. He's back in a few weeks. The other thing I wanted to mention also, we'll get to it when we get to the Washington game. But you know how you want to say things, but you forget to say them on the show?
Yeah. You're asking me that?
Yeah.
It happens to me 7 times a show.
Jaden Daniels, I don't know if he's going to play or not this weekend. None of us do yet. In Washington's game against the Raiders, that game down to 3 points. The thing about that one is there's some generational trauma involved in that for Washington fans.
Mm.
If you remember 2012 and Robert Griffin, RG3, blowing out his knee in the playoffs against Seattle, several weeks before that, the first sort of ding on him injury-wise was he sprained his knee against the Ravens. That was a game where Kirk Cousins came in and brought Washington back for victory. So this makes all of us think about that.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the fan base is kind of because of that, and I'm not exaggerating here, a lot of the fan base is like, yeah, maybe he shouldn't play this week.
I mean, look, I think that's I completely understand.
Yeah.
I think that Washington, in that front office, that coaching staff, is very aware of what they have with Jaden Daniels, and you're not going to rush him back. So, yeah, I think if it's 50-50, you're sitting this week, Jaden.
Yeah, by the way, I said 3. It's 3.5 is what it is currently down from what it was previously because of the Jaden Daniels injury news that came right after Guessing Lines on Monday morning. So no play for me here. And as we said, it would have been a Survivor thought before then, but it certainly isn't now.
Okay, what if he gets cleared to play?
Yeah, if he gets cleared, I think it's a survivor possibility for sure.
Okay. Interesting, because I don't think it matters to me at this point. If there's any concern with that knee, I'd rather stay away and find another time to play.
Yeah, that might be the prudent thing to do. Here's a survivor consideration for me.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay's a 6-point favorite, down a little bit, hosting the New York Jetropolitans. Not a lot of future value on Tampa Bay there. I think there's one or two spots we went through yesterday that could be as good or better than this spot against the Jets. But in a week where there isn't a whole bunch of options, I think for those of us who have multiple entries, this might get on one or two of mine, maybe.
Yes, at least one for me.
Yeah. You've changed. I thought you were shoving on the Seahawks.
No, this is the only other team I said I might use one on. Although everything else will be on Seattle. Man, this line.
It's gone down.
It's getting some Jets love. Again, another week where Jets love is coming into play.
We think it might be Tyrod Taylor. We don't know yet for the Jets. Colts at Titans, also in the early window. This has gone the other way. I have the Titans plus 3.5. It's now Colts minus 4 on the road. Man, I guess I'm not surprised by that because people are really influenced by recency bias. One team's 2-0, the other's 0-2. I get it. But, yeah, I still like the Titans side. I like them even more now, plus 4.
I'm still surprised. Danny and I were talking about it before the show. Shocked at 4-4. There's a 4.5 out there at FanDuel.
Good luck betting this one. Steelers at Patriots. Steelers are 1.5-point favorites on the road. Patriots are 1-1. Both teams are 1-1. Steelers having beaten the Jets, losing to the Seahawks. Patriots having beaten the Raiders having lost to the Raiders, pardon me, and beating the Dolphins this past week in a game, again, where they were just as likely to have lost it. Who knows?
I think, Gil, the Patriots are a good teaser leg this week, but it's not one that I played.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it. I think they're a good teaser leg. Bengals at Vikings. This is obviously, again, Browning, Wentz, Bengals, Vikings on CBS.
I think the Vikings play...
Vikings 3-point favorites.
Vikings in Ireland like in a week, too. I love that keeps happening.
Don't they do the back-to-back foreign games?
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. I love that this keeps happening. They're like, sorry, Europe, but welcome to the NFL. You're going to get some backup quarterbacks shipped out to you sometimes.
Enjoy Europe.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Texans at London's team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, though this one isn't in London. This one is in Jacksonville. In Duval, I believe the kids say over there. Houston Texans at Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars now 2-point favorites. Remember, Drew Dinsick not buying that. He's on the Texans' money line here. He doesn't see a world in which the Jaguars should be favored. Yeah. 0-2 Texans, 1-1 Jaguars.
Yeah, Drew with more stones than me, because that's one I've been staring at this, thinking that exact same thing the entire time, too. Like, I can't have the Jags favored over the Texans yet, but I can't wait to watch that game, Gil. I will not have a bet on it. Can't wait to watch it, though, because they are two...
Yes.
I mean, obviously the AFC South, but the conflicting styles of play are just fascinating, right? Like a pure over team in the Jags. The defense is terrible. The offense can at least move the ball. And the Texans, like, the offense is struggling. The defense is great.
Don't know what the Texans are. I mean, that's about as good a description as you just said. Offense is struggling. But you do get the feeling with the offense is like, this is supposed to get good, right? Like at some point, and it never, at least so far.
It never does.
Hasn't.
I feel like the past 2 years, too, it's been, what did we see Monday night? Scripted opening drive works great. You get into the heart of the game and it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Along with Buffalo, let's go to the late window. Along with Buffalo, this will be the most selected survivor play this week. The Seattle Seahawks, 7.5-point favorites, hosting the New Orleans Saints. Saints with their first road game this year, they're 0-2, though they were competitive in both. Seattle is 1-1, having beaten the Steelers this past weekend and losing to the Niners week one. The reason that the Seahawks, not only because they're 7.5-point favorites, but the other reason that they'll be one of the two, if not the most selected survivor play, is because there is really no future value on them better than this spot. So it will be one or two of my survivor entries for sure, but I'm not playing the spread.
Yeah, it will be heavy survivor use for me, mainly because there is no better spot. And yeah, Joe C, we don't get style points, but man, getting the Cardinals, Cowboys, and Seahawks out of the way in survivor sure feels good.
By the way, Bengals plus, I got the Bengals plus 3.5. That previous game, the Bengals Vikings, I failed to mention, I have the Bengals plus 3.5 as a bet. So for me, and the Titans I have as a bet. So I have Titans, Bengals, and I already forgot the third one. What was the third one I have? Bengals, Titans, and Falcons are my three. Thank you, Danny Higgins. Also in the late window, Broncos Chargers. Good early AFC West game. If the Chargers are as good as many believe they are to be, this is a game they win. Home division game against the Broncos, 2.5-point favorites. I still can't believe it's not the full three, but it is 2.5 extra juice now, so it's getting there.
It's, yeah, there's threes on the board in certain places.
That was my reaction Monday on guessing lines. Really? Not three?
I teased up the Broncos, but it is the smallest teaser I have with the Packers and the leg I feel the least comfortable about with the ones that I bet.
Sunday night football. Oh, doesn't get any better than this. And when I say that, I say that jokingly.
No, not Sunday night. Still in the
afternoon window. The late afternoon window. Pardon.
Yeah, it gets worse somehow Sunday night.
The 4:25 Eastern window of the late window. Dallas Cowboys at the Chicago Bears. The 1-1 Cowboys miraculously beating the Giants. And what a game that was. Chicago Bears 0-2. This is a pick 'em. Straight up pick 'em.
I'm in heavy on the over already. I bet that 48.5 on the open.
Oh, wow,
I'm
51
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm liking to see this. I couldn't believe that number didn't start with a 5 when they opened it. I told you this on Monday or Sunday. I can't remember which day. I'm not going to be shocked, Gil, when we're calling it the game that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams all of a sudden found the offense together.
Yes,
because
that Cowboys
defense is just such trash. As far as the side goes, it'd be Cowboys or nothing, but I really have no interest in getting involved with that.
Cardinals at Niners. Niners 1.5-point favorites. Is Mac Jones once again here against the 2-0 Cardinals. 2-0 Cardinals, 2-0 Niners. Something's got to give.
That's right. The Cardinals were a leg I teased up to 7.5 with the Packers. They've been impressive, but you know, you gotta wonder about the competition, the teams that they've played. They've got some injuries they're dealing with too out of last week.
All right, Sunday night is the Chiefs at the Giants. The 0-2 bowl between the Chiefs and the Giants. That's right. They're both 0-2 at MetLife. The Chiefs are up to a 6.5-point favorite. I said it when we talked Survivor. I am not willing to play the Chiefs in Survivor. One, because they both play on they play on Thanksgiving and Christmas. But also because, do they play Christmas also? Yeah, I think the Chiefs do. But just the Chiefs are not at full strength, right? They don't have Rice. They don't have Worthy. Like, I'm not touching them here against the feisty Russell Wilson.
Yeah, me either.
Survivor or otherwise.
It would be under or nothing in that game at 45.5.
Okay. And then Monday night, maybe the game of the week on paper. Lions at Ravens. Ravens favored by 4.5.
This one coming down. Lions taking money.
Well, this is kind of where it was on Monday, wasn't it?
About 5.5, 6.
Really?
There were sixes on the board. We're down to 4.5.
I guessed 4.5 is what I guessed. Look at that.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I guessed 4.5. Well, that's where it's supposed to be, according to me. No play for me.
I laid a worse number with the Ravens.
Ravens crushed them the last time they played Baltimore. Coming back, fantasy next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. We get tweets at Beating the Book. New Jersey, New York, at GV. He says, another week with Jets love. One of my first years listening to the podcast, I want to say 2013, I swear to God, you had a horrible Jaguars team that would get bet down from the opening number every week for no discernible reason other than too many points to lay. He's not buying the Jets love in the market.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any Jets love here, but in the market, he's referring to. Poke Therapy, listen to this take. He says, as a Titans fan, the team has quit on this coaching staff. The +4 would be the best bet on the board if Callahan wasn't the head coach, but I'm afraid the team has quit on their coach. Really? After 2 weeks,
wow,
they quit
week
on
two.
Them?
Week two?
Really? Oh, maybe so.
Dolphins did have a players-only meeting, I believe, after week one. So, you know.
Yeah, maybe
stuff
you're right.
Stuff moves fast in the NFL.
Okay, maybe you're right. Let's talk some fantasy and beyond, betting and fantasy, with our buddy Nick Whalen, who joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Nick, of course, senior writer over at RotoWire. You can follow him on Twitter at WHA1EN. So Whalen, but replace the L with the 1. How you doing, Nick?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. Good to be back. Looking forward to diving in on week 3.
You play Survivor, right? I don't want to gloss over that.
Yeah.
You have 4 entries, you said, before?
Yeah, I have 4 entries across various pools, yes.
Who did you play last week in Circus Survivor? I assume you're in Circus Survivor.
I went two on Baltimore. I went one on Arizona. I went one on the Detroit Lions. Yeah. So a little bit of diversification. I think we talked about Detroit last week. That was my strongest lean of the week. I know they were semi-popular in Survivor. Obviously, you know, Baltimore being a massive favorite at home against Cleveland, had to follow the crowd with a couple entries there. Carolina made us sweat that out much more than I thought we would on the Arizona entry, but all four made it through this week. So feeling lucky to be alive, especially when you compare this to how the first couple of weeks looked in 2024.
Have you looked at it this week? Who do you think you're going with?
I think I'm going to diversify again, guys. And I think I'll put maybe one entry on the Buffalo Bills, although the Bills have so many soft schedule spots, you know, not only in the next few weeks, but just throughout the season, that I think it's a relatively easy week to find some other options if you want to save the Buffalo Bills. I don't think this is necessarily the best spot for them. You know, I think Seattle's going to end up being really popular at home against New Orleans. I'm not sure that number should be all the way up at 7.5. I think this New Orleans team has actually been pretty frisky. Spencer Rattler yet to turn the ball over somehow through the first 2 weeks of the season. But we'll do at least one entry on Seattle, probably one on Tampa Bay. I don't know if I'm going to go to Green Bay. I think as of right now, I'm in early in my process, might put two on the Atlanta Falcons, guys. Ooh. I know they're going on the road. I know Raheem Morris has struggled, especially against the spread as a road favorite. But guys, this number was sitting at 1.5 this time last week in favor of Atlanta. That was one that I gave out in my article on RotoWire. Not surprised that we've seen that jump. You know, even after Atlanta didn't even look that good against Minnesota, I thought the Falcons just kind of played a game that they had to, where you're going up against a great pass defense, you're having success on the ground. They kind of shut it down early and recognized that Minnesota couldn't do anything. I mean, a much, much friendlier matchup defensively against Carolina. And a Carolina team, guys, that is now down two starting offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a few fantasy questions before we get to the week three slate.
Sure.
One, obviously, Joe Burrow, the biggest injury. I assume, you know what they say about assuming, but I assume that Jake Browning is the most sought after quarterback on waiver wires. But what about the guys who own Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins? Like, what's the deal there?
You know, I think you have to downgrade those guys slightly, but look, you probably paid a top two overall price for Ja'Marr Chase. You probably drafted T. Higgins inside the top 35 to 40 picks at the latest. So, you know, you're not just pulling these guys out of your lineup. You know, I guess if things devolve and it becomes a total disaster, you know, maybe Higgins is somebody that you're swapping in and out based on the matchup. And Cincinnati does have some very difficult defenses on the schedule over these next 4 weeks. At the same time, we saw Jake Browning start half of the season when Joe Burrow went down 2 years ago. He was a top 20 fantasy quarterback in that span. So not necessarily somebody you're starting in your traditional 12-team, one quarterback league, but super flex leagues, two quarterback leagues. These are becoming more and more popular. And I think Jake Browning is going to be viable. I mean, say what you will, he is ultimately a backup quarterback. He threw three interceptions last week against the Jaguars, but he's not one of these just game manager types. You know, the Bengals can't really afford to just, you know, throw him out there. We'll try to run the ball, play not to lose. Like, they haven't been running the ball anyway. I don't think they're going to have a whole lot more success. You know, Chase Brown, if anything, is the guy that I'm really worried about fantasy wise in that offense going forward, but they're going to live with the good and the bad with Jake Browning. They're going to let him sling it. And I still think there's going to be a decent amount of production for both Chase and Higgins. So the ceiling is not as high as it was with Joe Burrow, but I actually don't think this is a total disaster for the receivers.
What about those guys and gals? I said guys before, but girls play fantasy as well. What about those that own AJ Brown and Devontae Smith? The Eagles offense doesn't look all that good.
It's kind of the Eagles' choice, right? It's like it feels like it, when they want to throw the ball, they have the option to do that. Now Jalen Hurts has thrown what, like three passes, I think, that have traveled further than 20 yards down the field so far this season. You know, it's almost been a little bit Chiefs-like, you know, through these first 2 weeks. And it's hard to fault the Eagles, who are 2-0 with, you know, a divisional win over Dallas and then going into Arrowhead and getting a win. And, you know, we've seen this before, specifically with A.J. Brown. Like, Devontae Smith, you know, not as high of a fantasy pick, not as high of a week-to-week ceiling. You kind of live with the ups and downs with him. He tends to be a little bit more consistent. But, you know, A.J. Brown has had these down weeks before, and, you know, then he says something about it to the media and the squeaky wheel gets the grease and he bounces back. I think what's concerning, though, is the lack of targets. You know, you compare him to, you know, someone like Brian Thomas or Nico Collins or Drake London, Justin Jefferson, these other big time first round talent type of receivers in fantasy. They're all struggling, but at least the workload has been there. You know, I think there are some obvious things you can point to with those guys. With A.J. Brown, you know, it's our fantasy interests are competing with the interests of the Philadelphia Eagles. And like, as the season goes along, they're not just going to be able to pound Saquon Barkley 22 times every single week and throw these short balls to Dallas Goedert over the middle. Like, there will be spike weeks for A.J. Brown, But I mean, through 2 weeks, this has been kind of a worst case scenario, right? Like the shots aren't even being taken. It's not like he's not connecting with Jalen Hurts. They're just not even looking for him.
You mentioned Brian Thomas. It occurs to me you're a Jaguars fan, so I should probably ask about this. And I think I got the answer, but just to clarify, Brian Thomas Jr., 19 targets, only 5 catches through 2 weeks. You're not worried about him for fantasy owners?
Oh, I'm concerned.
Oh,
I'm concerned.
Okay.
And I mean, it's been so bad through 2 weeks that it feels like there's nowhere to go but up. You know, I'm not to the point where, you know, if you burn the 8th overall pick in your draft on Brian Thomas, that I'm saying, you know, offload him and sell him for, you know, spare parts. I wouldn't do that. But like you said, 5 catches on 19 targets. Like you like that the targets have been there. He's top 20 in the NFL in team target share. But there are so many issues right now with Jacksonville. It's like, you know, Trevor Lawrence is not playing well. Brian Thomas, as we saw in week 2, doesn't look like he wants to be catching balls over the middle. He doesn't want to take hits. It looks like he's lost confidence. I mean, that drop on 4th down at the end, you can't throw a better ball. I don't think you can blame Trevor Lawrence for that one. And then you rewind back to week 1 against Carolina. That should have been a smash spot for Brian Thomas. And, you know, he and Lawrence just could not get on the same page. And I think what concerns me a little bit going forward, too, is the Jaguars have a really, really tough schedule of defenses coming up. Their next 5 or 6 games are all games where they'll probably be underdogs. And, you know, Brian Thomas has kind of burned these 2 great matchups early in the season. Carolina and Cincinnati might be the 2 best matchups on the entire schedule. And he's come away with like 15 total fantasy points.
Nico Collins, Drake London, Justin Jefferson. Like, and I didn't mean to focus on all the wide receivers, but who's of all of them, the one you're most worried about is? One word answer.
To me, it's probably Nico Collins. Nico Collins, based on how that O-line has looked.
Okay. Let's go to last thing on fantasy. Rookie running backs. We were talking about this on Guessing Lines the other day. You know, Omarion Hampton, drafted by the Chargers in the first round. Obviously, the most prominent drafted running back. 6th by the Raiders, Ashton Jeanty. What about these struggling rookie running backs?
I mean, it's just about everybody, right? It's not just Jeanty. It's not just Omarion Hampton. You know, Travion Henderson has had some disastrous reps in pass pro. It looks like he's kind of in the semi doghouse right now for New England. I mean, if you look at the just total fantasy points for rookie running backs through 2 weeks, Dylan Sampson is currently the high man, and he's probably losing his job to Quinshon Judkins starting this week. So yeah, you go down the list and you don't feel great about RJ Harvey. He's in a, you know, a 3-back timeshare right now. It kind of feels like Sean Payton is just messing with fantasy players as he does every year. You know, Caleb Johnson may never see the field again for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. He already wasn't playing and then had that terrible muff kickoff play this past week. You know, Ja'Cory Krosky-Barrett for your Commanders, Gil, you know, coming off a big letdown game against Green Bay. We all of a sudden, you know, have Camp Scataboo now in the mix, splitting with Tyrone Tracy in New York. Like, it's just, it's really rough out there. And like Henderson is still the guy that I have the most hope for long-term, the guy who's struggling now, because I think eventually the talent's going to win out. With Jeanty, he's going to be fine. You know, I think we get to the end of the year and we say, all right, we feel good about Ashton Jeanty, but we're going to look back and say, man, we probably should not have been taking him in the first round.
Yeah. Commanders went again, you know, were the culprits in the Krosky-Merritt thing, though. He was averaging good yards per carry. They just went away from him for some reason.
Yeah.
They were a little scared of that Green Bay defense, but he was doing fine. I lied. Last thing. Daniel Jones, best fantasy quarterback through 2 weeks, sustainable or unsustainable?
Being the best fantasy quarterback through 2 weeks, unsustainable. Being a borderline starter, being viable in most leagues, I think it is sustainable. I like the Colts this week. You get a good matchup against the Titans. You know, I know that's a decent defense, but a lot of the underlying numbers look really good for Daniel Jones. It's not just checkdowns. He's 3rd in EPA per play. He's 3rd in success rate. Average depth of target is way up. We're seeing a different version of Daniel Jones.
Nick, I didn't mean to go all fantasy. I wanted to talk week 3 with you, but it occurs to me that this is a week where a lot of players are probably spooking out some fantasy owners. So I'm glad we went through it. Nick Whalen, everybody, from RotoWire, at Whalen, WHA1EN. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Nick Whalen, everybody, on the show. Coming back, MLB best record. A bet available? Well, it's available, but is it worth betting? Next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game. Un partido de números. Or as I've been told by some others, un juego de números. But, you know, I go with the Spain thing. What were you saying? What are you mumbling about?
I just said C.
C. Oh, C. We get tweets, Kelly. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, at Beating the Book. Jack Olequire, not to be confused with Jim Olequire, his brother, who I have to say, Jim had a pretty substandard tweet earlier.
I did. I was wondering about that. Jack, like, is that an old choir we have not met yet?
Yeah, it is an old choir we have not met. And Jack, I'd like you to give Jim a talking to. That's what I'd like to have. Jack says, I played a few of your baseball monthly wins bets and also the Guardians under season win total. But didn't you also give out Royal season total under? No, I didn't. He says, that's the only one that looks like it's going to cash. No, I did not. James Fessler, color me surprised that Gil is not hellbent on saving all his commander options for Christmas Day, hosting of the Cowboys. What's he afraid of? No, I am saving commanders for Christmas. I'm not playing them this week. Oh, you're saying if Jaden played that I would play some of them. Yeah, I probably would. Again, multiple injuries, different sort of calculus on that. People talking schmack about other people's survivor strategies.
And there's also it was kind of part of the reason I wanted to use the Cardinals early, not just schedule related, but like I don't know if Kyler's going to make it all season, right? Like Jaden runs a lot too. I'm not saying the guy's injury prone. I'm not saying any of that, but he runs. And if you got a running quarterback, you're always going to be more prone to that.
Can we show the September baseball update for those who bet September? Speaking of the monthlies, thank you for reminding us here, Jack Olaquire. This is most September, MLB September most wins update. The Philadelphia Phillies in the lead at 12-3. Look who's second. The Guardians just mocking me.
Jeez.
Just trolling me. 11-4. They've had a good month run differential-wise, too, so mazel tov to them. Still should be 71-79 and not 79-71, but that's a whole other story. Mariners, Blue Jays, Orioles all 10-4. Diamondbacks, Cubs, and Nationals, the only others within 3 wins of the 12-3 Phillies. So again, that whole strategy, remember, we only briefly touched on it yesterday with Sporer. Whenever a team clinches a division, everybody likes to come on air and be like, oh, you got to fade them the next night. Well, the Phillies were down because Shohei was blanking them, no hitting them, and the Phillies come back and score 9 runs. So, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not with some of these sports betting axioms that we have. Phillies get it done.
I mean, like, I get it.
I get it.
It's one of the dumbest things in sports,
but it's
champagne celebrations after clinching a playoff spot, but it doesn't always mean there's a bet right after it.
Well, it's two things on that. One, is there any sport more ridiculous with the champagne celebrations? So the Phillies now, potentially, this is the first of, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, oh no, in their case, they skip around, so it would be 1 of 4.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but remember, there are some teams that will get
times?
4 times in the playoffs themselves, right? If they go all the way from the first round.
So at the same time, I like mocking this, but at the same time, playing a baseball schedule sounds exhausting.
162 games. I don't care if it's not as, you know.
Yeah, it's not football. It's not you're
football,
not taking hits,
but it's 162 times.
Like you get all the times you got to get on a plane during the season. Oh man!
By the way, you can still bet September most wins. Phillies -115. The Guardians just one win back, +330. Anyone? Bueller? Yeah, I wouldn't either.
You know the Phillies have the rest of the way off the top of your head. Like is -115 a bad bet?
-115 is a great bet, and I'm going to segue this into our next betting market. Here is why Phillies -115. Now, the counter argument to the Phillies -115 is, hey, look, the Phillies already have a top 2 seed. Well, it's not officially clinched, but they have 7 more wins. They're 6.5 games ahead of the third place Dodgers in the NL. So it looks like the Phillies are going to have a first round bye clinched. Okay. So there's that. So the counter argument to the -115 is that. But I want to tell you in the Phillies' case, 10 games left in the regular season, 10 games left, it's not often that you have a bet that is something you should consider. But I would like to consider this one for MLB best record odds, because right now the Brewers are 92 and 59. The Phillies are 91 and 61. So they're a game and a half behind the Brewers. And again, there's this notion of, well, if they've already got a 1-2 seed clinched, do they care to play? By the way, you could say the same about the Brewers. Do they care if they're 1 or 2, right? Do these teams care about setting themselves up for playing certain teams in the playoffs as much as we think they might?
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest the answer time and time again, sport after sport, year after year, is no, they don't care nearly as much as we think they do. They don't care. They don't care to set themselves up for who they play.
Yeah, but I think that's a different conversation than just trying to secure home field throughout or home court in different sports.
No, what I'm saying is, will a team, what I'm getting at is, will in these last 10, 11 games, right? The Phillies have 10 games left. The Brewers have 11 games left. They're both just a couple days away, a few days away from clinching first and second seeds, right? I mean, it's almost done mathematically there. Will they then care about who ends up first or second? In other words, will they care as much as we sports bettors and sports fans think about positioning themselves for the right playoff matchup or home field throughout the entire playoffs? Through the World Series, if you will, right? Because they'll have a better record than the American League team. And the answer is maybe, but I'm thinking we exaggerate that. Anyway, it gets us to the MLB best record odds and that September. So September wins, Phillies in the lead by one game, by one win, are minus 115. MLB best record, they're 1.5 games behind the Brewers, and they're plus 185 with, you ready for this?
Yeah.
A way easier remaining schedule.
I just pulled them up both, too.
480 is the win percentage aggregate of the Phillies' remaining opponents, 480. And the Brewers, well, not much more, but it's 499. Still harder. By the way, when we go back to the wild card race in the National League, one of the big reasons why it's going to be tough for the Diamondbacks to catch the Mets, even though they're a game and a half behind, they have the hardest remaining schedule in baseball. 559 remaining aggregate win percentage of their opponents. That matters in that case, I think, markedly more. But the Phillies are incrementally easier schedule than the Brewers. So it really does come down to, wow, minus 115, they're ahead in most wins in September, minus 115 on them, and they're plus 185 for the MLB best record, and they're only a game and a half behind the Brewers, everybody else behind these two teams. Are those good bets? And I'm suggesting, I kind of think they are.
I kind of think I'm going to make them.
Because I don't think the counter argument is, yeah, but will they care once they clinch the one or two seed? And I would say, yes, they will still care enough to try to get the main thing, the best record in all of baseball, right, to have home field all the way through. That's what I'm saying, to get the number one seed, in other words, in the NL.
And I think that was the only thing I was trying to separate, because we do.
You are correct.
We do the basketball thing all the time of like, hey, would you rather be the 4 seed and play the Kings or the 3 seed? And I think you're right. We make too much of that. The home field throughout is a different story.
I think the last week of the NFL season, I think teams kind of think about that kind of stuff. Oh, wait, if I'm going to be the fourth division winner, then I get to play this. Like, I think there's some of that. I think in basketball, we sort of overrate that too.
I think there's some of it in everything. I think we overrate.
I think we overrate maybe in all, but we certainly do, I think, in baseball, but we don't overrate, to your point, the best record of them all.
Throughout, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hear these schedules too? Yeah. This is Dodgers. So Phillies, it's Dodgers today and then the Diamondbacks this weekend. Okay. Dodgers are tough. Not saying the Diamondbacks is a cakewalk, but then it's Marlins and Twins. You get series against the Marlins and Twins to close things out. Meanwhile, the Brewers, it's two games left today, tomorrow against the Angels, and then it's Cardinals, Padres, Reds.
I think those are bets on the Phillies, man.
I think I'm getting involved with you.
I think those are bets on the Phillies in both cases, and it's not about the matchups. It's about if you have, and again, World Series home field advantage is determined by the best regular season record in all of baseball. And, you know, again, just to clarify, Brewers 92-59, Phillies 91-61. The next best team is the Blue Jays at 89-62. They're 13-1 for best record. The Cubbies, by the way, who are 125-1. The Cubbies are 87-64. I mean, that's 5 games behind the Brewers. 5 games with like 11 to play, 11-ish to play. It's too much to make up. So to me, and the Blue Jays, with apologies to Toronto, still too much to make up. I think the Blue Jays are the type of team, they're going to realize we're not going to get the best record in all of baseball. They may sort of chill towards the end of the season with a 1 or 2 seed, you know, clinched in the AL. But I don't think that's the case with the Phillies going for the very best record. So I think both of those both September right now at minus 115 and MLB best record for the Phillies at plus 185. I think those are both bets.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm going to shop around my Betum today. Breaking news before we go to break here. Justin Fields out for this week's game against the Buccaneers.
Tyrod Taylor in his 15th season in the National Football League, only three of which did he really play full seasons. He will be the starter for the New York Jetropolitans against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And his career, he's got a right down the middle total QBR. The ultimate mediocre quarterback. Coming back.